Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, an absolute pleasure to be with you. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, is going to join us today, along with our high school announcers. Lewisburg plays tonight because it's homecoming for Bucknell. And I guess Kevin's the grand marshal this year of the Bucknell homecoming parade, which is really cool.
I didn't see that memo.
Now you better get ready. It's going to be awfully embarrassing when there's a big Kevin Herr sign in the car and there's no Kevin Herr there.
I'll have a stand-in. No one knows I'm in radio.
Pick somebody good looking.
That's what I was telling you. You beat me to it. I was just about to say, I'll find somebody really attractive. Then they'll know it's not me.
Oh, that's just... Now, Cindy, who is your biggest defender and gets mad at me because I have a little fun.
It's okay because it's self-deprecating. It's self-deprecating.
I want her to understand that you said that. I didn't say that.
Duly noted. Let the record state.
Yes, let the record state. Yes. Today, our high school announcers to preview the games that you'll hear on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations, including Lewisburg, which plays tonight on the Valley 100.9. Matt Cotrillo will join us as he gets ready for that one. And then, of course, we'll hear from Pat O'Brien, and we'll hear from Steve Williams, and Kevin and the Chief will join us in the next half hour to talk about their games. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Johnny Holiday, the voice of Maryland football tomorrow. Danny Gallen, who happens to be the beat writer for Maryland football for the Baltimore Sun, is going to join us. Roman Stubbs, who happens to be the beat writer for Maryland football for the Washington Post, is going to join us. Frank Bodani, your daily record tomorrow. I think that's quite a lineup.
Sounds pretty busy.
Ready for the game. Yeah, it's going to be very busy tomorrow. We're busy today. Steve, Pat, the Chief, Matt, yourself, and Tony DeFazio. Pittsburgh Sports Report, talking about Landry Jones, your guy, your leader.
For a week, anyway.
Well, 2 weeks.
I don't know.
He was your leader last week.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I haven't ruled him out yet.
You're insane.
Listen, have you heard anything?
Okay.
No.
Let me spell out two key elements that you need to understand.
Okay.
Houston and Tamba Hali, not going to play him this week. I would never put a guy out there with an MCL problem with two dynamic pass rushers when I could buy myself one more week and really be sure.
Well, I can't deny that the logic there. Roethlisberg has no game status as of right now.
But you told me he's practicing.
Limited participation in practice is the official practice status. When does the injury report come out for the NFL? It's usually Thursday, isn't it?
Yes, and today's Thursday.
Shazier, though, full participation in practice. That's a big addition to the defense.
They're not sure yet. They're not sure yet about him. They're not sure. I've witnessed limited participation before in practice. You don't do much.
Okay. That would be the definition of limited.
Okay. I mean, you're just kind of hanging around a little bit, kind of watching. That's the definition of limited right there. So, I know you're hoping. I just don't see the logic in it when you're going against two dynamic pass rushers. Oh, and by the way, didn't you just change your left tackle?
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way. I'm not saying you're wrong.
That's the problem. That's the issue I've got. The issue I've got is you just changed the left tackle, and you're facing two dynamic pass rushers. That does become, I mean, to me, that helps shape your decision as to can we get away with this for one more week. Who you got the week after?
See, that's the other thing. I think it's Cincinnati. And I think that's why you'll see that. That's why there's a good possibility he will not be there this week. I have to look. I'm not positive on that.
Boy, the Bengals are good, man. Man, they're way better than your team.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
No, I'm just kidding you. I got to give them credit. They've played great so far. You have to give them some credit as much as you absolutely can't stand them.
I have. I'm still not ready to say that their quarterback is now an elite quarterback, and it is the Bengals in Pittsburgh, by the way, next week on week 8.
The Sunday night game, or is that a...
No, that's staying as a CBS game. The Sunday night game next week will be Packers-Broncos.
Oh, actually, that's a really good game. Okay. Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. All right. Have you seen the, I haven't seen it. Did you send a memo today? I should look.
No, I didn't. I knew we had a busy show today. The only thing I saw of great interest, obviously, was the change in Los Angeles at the head coaching position, the manager position, rather.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a case. Usually when you see something like that, it is a case of a team... we'll say face for the guy. We'll say we mutually parted. There's a lot of understanding of this, that it's when they say they mutually parted ways, that it's actually the Dodgers saving face, that they actually didn't offer him a contract and he didn't want to stay. The Marlins may be the next stop for him. Did you see, this is terrific, the University of New Hampshire is offering a class at Deflategate.
What?
The University of New Hampshire is offering a class on Deflategate, and it's fascinating in that they have been able, to their credit, take Deflategate, and they've been able to turn it into multiple layers of learning, from sports law to labor relations law,
to what not to do with footballs in the NFL.
No, you're right, but to the reporting of it, and they've done it in multiple layers. And what is the what's the responsibility of the union? What's the responsibility of the league? They've brought in people to talk about the sports law aspect of it, about the role of an agent in all of this, about an appeals process. They've done all of this and put it into a class at the University of New Hampshire in Durham. And it really is a marvelous multi-layered teaching tool that surrounds Deflategate, but it goes beyond just whether a football is inflated or not. Now, they did bring in the starting quarterback for the University of New Hampshire. And they had one football at 11.5, one football at 12.5, and one football at the max 13.5. And he threw the ball around. Okay. And so they asked him, how do you feel about this? He says, this one's a little heavier, this one's a little lighter. He said, but there's no difference. To his credit, when they finally asked him which one was which, he did get them right as to which one was which, but he said there was no difference to him at all in throwing the ball. None. So this class takes place, and it is called INCO 460. So it's a 400-level class. It also takes place from 5:10 every Wednesday to 8 o'clock at night in McConnell Hall on campus in a 150-seat auditorium. The professor is Michael McCann. They even have a guy who's 72 years old who's taking the class because he thought it would be fascinating. And they do it in multi-layers. The syllabus describes the mission. This class is not about deflated footballs. Instead, it's about the interplay between those footballs along with numerous other sports things and the legal, regulatory, journalistic systems that govern sports. Students in Deflategate will learn about crucial areas of law that relate to sports and the methodologies used to practice in relevant fields: contract law, business law, constitution law, intellectual property law, evidence law, tort law, labor law, antitrust law, and the law of private association among the legal regimes that will be closely examined. Students will also gain valuable instruction on core journalism methods and their applications to a sports story attracting national headlines. He is a law professor, and by the way, he's also a columnist for SI.com. And he's brought in guest lecturers such as Adolfo Birch, the NFL Senior Vice President for Labor Policy, Jack Mula, who's the former counsel to the Patriots, sports attorney Alan Milstein, David Greenspan, who's a member of Tom Brady's legal team, and he brought in Peter King from Sports Illustrated. He said the associate dean of the law school, Margaret McCabe, actually came up with the idea. And she came up with the idea in February. He says, how about you go over to the undergraduate campus and teach a course on sports law? And why don't you use Deflategate as a model for it? And you can take everybody through it using it. They say this class can be taught every year and not just this year. And it's really interesting how he's taken something and is practical about what he's doing. Now, Peter King was there on Wednesday night. He said several interesting array of questions. Listen to some of the questions they're asked that he was asked in this class. Was this a makeup call by the NFL for Spygate? He said his answer was he doubts it. The Colts footballs were below normal PSI, which has been underreported. Why? Peter King's response, I agreed, and I don't know why. As the issue has picked up steam, the league has had numerous opportunities to minimize it, yet they have doubled down in their position. Why? He said, I think it's because Goodell believes Brady was complicit. Are there any negotiations to settle the case? Peter King's answer, not that he's aware of, and that Brady's at a point, why bother settling? It's clear how the NFLPA feels about this case. How about the actual players outside of New England? How do they feel? And Peter King's answer was, the majority supported Brady. How many more years will Roger Goodell be commissioner? He said he didn't know. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver immediately tackled the Donald Sterling Clippers situation last year. Silver took care of it with league people. Why did Goodell farm it out? Now, is that an outstanding question or what? Goodell obviously felt he needed an investigative team to sort through the layers. That was King's answer, the best he can come up with. Look at the power owners of the NFL and the conflict of interest that might exist on the field if one owner goes against another owner of a rival team. How does the commissioner's office sort that out? Another interesting question. Which makes, means that Goodell's impartiality has to be vital in all this. If Goodell were no longer commissioner, who'd be the logical replacement? Peter King's answer was Clark Hunt, the Chiefs owner, but doesn't think he wants the job. Clark Hunt, by the way, is critical. He is on the relocation committee when it comes to Los Angeles. He is critical in that. Robert Kraft's also on that committee. Do you play fantasy football? Yes, I'm in a league run by my daughter, and I stink at it. How credible a news source is ESPN, and why hasn't Chris Mortensen apologized for getting the story wrong in January? How credible a news source is ESPN? Peter King answered, very. And he said, quote, I don't know Mort's business. I have enough of a problem getting my own stuff right. Those were simply, I mean, except for the one about do you play fantasy football. Those were outstanding questions. Really good questions. But this is a course that they have surrounding this. I find it fascinating. And this has been done in other classrooms across the country. Remember, Mike Poyman did the Paterno course here at Penn State. And I give this professor all the credit in the world for taking a real-life situation and then taking the layers of it and using it as a teaching opportunity. They'll get more out of it because of it. That kind of practical feel to it. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand. Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, where Kevin has been driving a Ford Focus all week.
Yeah, the 2015 Ford Focus, complete with backup camera standard. You have the telescopic tilt steering that will adjust to your comfort level. Plus, you have very comfortable wraparound cloth seats, especially in the front with those front seats. Plenty of room in the trunk as well to haul just about anything you could possibly imagine. Well, within reason. You're not going to be able to get a Christmas tree in there or anything like that. But you can fold the back seat down and get a little bit more room.
Come on, man.
And you know what? The best part about it is you need zero money down, and all you need to do is sign a piece of paper, qualify, and you'll drive away with a 36-month lease in the sign-and-go event that with tax and everything, you've seen it for $199, with tax and everything, the price is $217. That's what they like to call the give-them-the-keys pricing. So all you have to do is say, yeah, I like that idea, sign the paper, they'll give you the keys, and you could be driving the 2015 Ford Focus as soon as tonight from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury.
All right. And, of course, Sunbury Motors Key, also routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Bring in Pat O'Brien. Kevin had a chance to talk to Pat O'Brien about the big matchup that Selins Grove has, undefeated and rolling, guys.
Well, this is a very important stretch of the season. Not only do you have the big game against Montoursville last week, the win in overtime, but now it's another team in the league and another team that has had an outstanding season in Jersey Shore. What is it with the Jersey Shore team that has the Selins Grove coaches most concerned? Is it the running game? Is it Lorson? Or is it a combination of things?
It's definitely the running game. I mean, you're going to see very similar to what you saw against Montoursville, you know, with the back who gets all the calls. You know, he'll get about 30-some rushes. And then you're going to see a big fullback with Bryce Charles. And then it's going to be the same that they saw against Berwick when Berwick decided to just go power and put everybody in the backfield and run straight at them. So that is the concern. That's where the focus is going to be. They'll try to force Bradley to throw a little bit by stacking up the line of scrimmage. And, you know, run in between the tackles. I think anyone you talk to, that is the biggest concern for Seals Grove. Larson, obviously very capable running back, over 1,300 yards, and boy, he gets all the calls, as he did in the week ago against Milton, with going 35 carries for 276 yards and 5 touchdowns. So all the focus and the concern right now for Seals Grove defense is between the tackles and that running game.
Pat, last year this game in the district championship game was a 6-2 game. Do you see this being another low-scoring affair?
I don't think so. I really don't. Not with Javon Batts in the backfield and not with the growing nature of sophomore quarterback Logan Leiby and Colin Hoke, who is on a streak of 5-plus catches in 3 straight games. I think they can move the ball. I think they'll score points. And like I said, you know, they just have to be able to get the Jersey Shore offense off the field and not watch them have, as Montoursville did, a couple 12-play drives and stick it in the end zone. So now that this is going to be, there's going to be some scoring in this game, and obviously I hope that Seals Grove is able to shut down Lordson and keep them out of the end zone. And so that I think there will be a lot more scoring in this game than it was in the district championship game a year ago.
Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt will have the call beginning at 6 o'clock with the pregame, and then 7 o'clock is kickoff from Harold L. Bullock Memorial Stadium in Seals Grove on Eagle 107. Thanks for joining us, Pat.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it, Pat. Let's get into now Shikellamy taking on Loyal Sock, which is undefeated. Dave Ritchie joins us along with Kevin Hurd. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Well, nice to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
What are the common threads in this little streak they've put together here?
Well, really, they've done a fine job. I think the offensive line has gelled. I saw a lot of good blocks last week, and you know, when you pile up that amount of yardage that Shikellamy had, even against Shamokin, it tells you that things are starting to work up front. Also, Christian Schlegel has thrown some very, very accurate passes. I mean, almost they look like he's not going to be able to get them to the receiver, and he puts him right on the money. So I think the offense is working well. Defensively, I think the last two games they've come around also. I really like the idea they put a couple of kids that were once linebackers into the defensive line, and that added something that they hadn't had up front for a while, and that was speed. And the secondary has been doing well. So both sides of the line, it seems like there have been big improvement over the last two games.
Kevin, what do you think this has done for the confidence on the football team now that they've hit the stretch run?
You know, I think the big difference between the last couple of weeks and what we saw against Jersey Shore, that was a team that had the lead, lost the lead, and just couldn't believe it and couldn't understand how it happened. Now, we saw a couple of weeks ago, especially against Central Mountain, a team that started to see Central Mountain score, and they just went and kicked it in another gear and then put the game away themselves, both with solid defense and by keeping control of the football late in the ball game. I think that's the big difference. Now you have a team that believes that when they have the lead, they can win with the lead and put the game away.
Loyal Sox undefeated, guys. Why?
Well, they may have gotten rid of Kyle Datras last year as quarterback, who was a one-man destroyer of the Shikellamy Braves. But they didn't get rid of their line, and they've also got a freshman quarterback now, Connor Watkins, who has stepped in and has given them something that they were missing before, and that was his ability to pass. They're solid all the way around. And if you look at their scores, they've scored from 34 to 70 points against their opponents until last week, when they really had to hang on to beat Hughesville 14 to nothing. But they are very, very explosive on the offensive end, just like they always have been, even without Kyle Datras.
Yeah, Marty Clark has been a big boost in the backfield with this running game. Right now, looking at about 1,100 yards collectively, and he has 3/4 of those yards. And you saw a big difference when he was out of the game last week against Hughesville. They really ran into an offensive drought, got him back in the game late. He scored the last touchdown and solidified the win at 14-0. I think he's a big part of the offense. If you can control him, I don't think stop him, but control him, it's going to be a big help. But, boy, as you mentioned, Dave, that offensive line, and, of course, most of them play both ways, that defensive line is big and athletic.
Dave, how's Shikalimi done on giveaway takeaway?
Oh, very well. I'm not exactly sure, but we're way ahead of the game. Especially in the last three or four games, I think we gave up one fumble last week to Shimokin, and we ended up picking up two fumbles that they had plus three interceptions. So that was a 5-1 exchange last week. They have gotten away from losing the football, giving it up on the fumbles and interceptions. I'm still worried about their kickoff team, though, because every time we kick off, it seems that the other team starts at least from their own 45-yard line and on. So yeah. That's one thing that that they still are struggling with.
And, Chief, I think if my numbers are right, they're +8 right now in the turnover ratio.
Okay. I knew that we were not talking about a lot of lost fumbles or even them putting it on the ground very much. So that's been a positive for them all year long.
7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime. Dave, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
You too, Dave. We'll transition over now to 1380 WMLP and Steve Williams along with Justin Michaels with the call. Milton is at home tomorrow night to take on Mifflinburg. Steve, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good to be back with you again.
Steve, what's the confidence level right now? How much are they fighting that?
Well, they knew in the last three games that they were going to be big underdogs, and they have been big underdogs. This is a game that they've been pointing to as a winnable game. Mifflinburg went into last week's game against Central Mountain without a win, ended up coming out with a win. But, this is a game that the coaches and the players have been pointing to as being a winnable game in the last three that they have.
Matchups mean so much when you get into games. Where are the favorable matchups here that actually does give Milton the confidence you're talking about?
Well, I think their offensive line is going to probably going to be determining how they play this week. It's the last couple teams have figured a way to stop Brandon Stokes. I don't know that Mifflinburg's going to be able to do that. He's got to get the wheels back on and get going again. And the other thing is on the other side of the ball, as far as Mifflinburg's offense goes, this is the first week in three or four weeks that Milton hasn't had to face a guy coming in with 1,000 yards or 1,100 yards. So it does not appear that their running game is that strong. Special teams, boy, you never know. You know, Milton, they tend to give their opponents a very good start, 35 to 45-yard line. They got to get away from that, The opponents are playing with a short field.
Steve, giveaway, takeaway, how important will that be tomorrow night? And also, how important will time of possession be tomorrow night?
Well, I think, what we've seen from Mifflinburg last week is they had a couple of kick returns for touchdowns. So, Milton has always tried to play a possession game with that wing key. They very rarely get plays of longer than 15 yards. I mean, it's not designed to do that. If they can spring it, great. Mifflinburg right now, I think, is minus 18 in takeaways. They throw a lot of interceptions. I think there's 16 interceptions on the season for them, and seven fumbles. And of course, that's in any 15-yard penalty in a high school football game can be big game changers.
Yeah, there's no question about that. What kind of secondary play have you had this year at Milton?
Well, they've had to move some people around because of injuries. They've actually gotten one of the safeties had to move into a linebacking spot. So I guess if anything, you could say they are getting a lot of underclassmen some time. It's been spotty at best. If you've got a fast receiver, they've been getting caught. They'll bite pretty quickly on the little hitch and goes.
Steve, thanks so much. Best of luck. We appreciate the time, as always.
All righty. Hey, thanks, Steve.
All right, Steve Williams. You'll have the call tomorrow night on 1380 Talk Radio WMLP along with Brett Michaels. Coming up tonight, though, on the Valley 100.9, it is Southern Columbia at Lewisburg. Matt Cotrillo joins us. Matt, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Steve, as always. And, yeah, a little Thursday night football tonight down at Christy Mathewson Stadium.
Absolutely, with the Bucknell homecoming parade coming up tomorrow. Southern Columbia, great test coming in. How eager is Lewisburg for this particular test?
Oh, this has been the game that's been circled on the calendar all year. And I'll tell you what, Steve, a short week couldn't have come at a better time for Lewisburg, coming off the tough loss against Danville last week. Six turnovers. They dealt with a couple of big injuries, including Blake Benford on the line. So it's one of those games they just got to shake it off, move right back along, because it's really competitive now in the AA standings. They're with about four or five other teams at 5-2, and right now it's currently sitting in the fourth spot in AA. So this is still a very important game, but a very tough game. And Lewisburg knows they can beat this team. They beat this team last year on their home turf. So, of course, this will be a revenge game for Southern Columbia, but Lewisburg knows they can do it. And just to kind of sum it up of how much the Tigers have dominated their opponents this year, Steve, they have averaged 36 points on average defeating their opponents this season.
Matt, when you look, every team takes on its own personality, so even from team to team, it's a bit different. What has made this edition of Southern Columbia good?
Well, I think it's their size and their strength, and it's just their depth. I mean, there's depth in every single position. You start with Nick Becker, who's had a phenomenal senior year. At running back, you have Hunter Thomas and Blake Marks, who have are a good 1-2 punch. You know, and that sets up a really dangerous play action that's going to test this Lewisburg secondary, which has been the strength this year. But when you look at this Southern team, it's the run game. Lewisburg's run D has kind of struggled this year at times, and that's going to be real key here tonight, besides, of course, taking care of the football.
And tonight, where is an area where Lewisburg has confidence, where they think that they can get something done, which would then change the dynamic of the game?
That's tough to say with this team, Steve, but I think probably they're going to try and stretch the field to try and set up their run, keep the clock going, and control the clock, keep Southern Columbia's offense off the field. And if they do that tonight again, and of course take care of the football, like I said, then they'll have a chance to be in this one for sure.
Matt, great call tonight. Look forward to it.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Lewisburg and Southern Columbia tonight on the Valley 100.9. Matt Cotrillo will have the call with Trophy Michaels. Again, that's tonight. Coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with a 6 o'clock airtime on Eagle 107. It'll be Jersey Shore at undefeated Sealands Grove, Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brandt. Mifflinburg at Milton tomorrow night, 7 o'clock the start, 6:30 the airtime with Steve Williams and Brett Michaels on 1380 Talk Radio WMLP. And the game you'll hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow night. Loyal Sock at Shikellamy on homecoming at Shikellamy tomorrow night. 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime with Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC.
Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand.
Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
So it's all set up starting tonight on the Valley 100.9, Southern Columbia and Lewisburg, with a 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 airtime. Tomorrow night, Jersey Shore at Sealands Grove, 7 o'clock the kick, 6 o'clock the airtime on Eagle 107, Mifflinburg at Milton on 1380 WMLP. That will be a 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 airtime in Shikellamy at home with undefeated Loyal Sock. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, 6:30 will be the airtime with Kevin and the Chief. I know you're looking forward to that, and congratulations on being the Grand Marshal of the Bucknell Homecoming Parade.
Oh, the Bucknell Homecoming. Oh, that's exciting. I didn't get that email.
It's going to be awfully odd seeing an empty car. Look, they picked a ghost to be the homecoming king.
Well, it is the Halloween season.
Yes, it is. All right, coming up next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll get in a little bit into Landry Jones and what's going on with the Steelers after we had Brandy Gouten on earlier this week to talk about the Eagles. We'll take a look at the team to the west, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 4-2 right now, and that was not a good win over Arizona's a great win. It's a good football team they beat, and they did so without Ben Roethlisberger. Front seven's the part for the Steelers that is not being talked enough about. There's been such a concentration on Bell's out two games. Roethlisberger gets hurt. Now what's Michael Vick doing? Michael Vick. Then Landry Jones and so forth. Lost in the wash has been the outstanding play of the front seven for the Steelers, and I think that's actually a big reason why they're 4-2 right now. They might be the most impressive part of the football team at the moment outside of Le'Veon Bell. They've been terrific.
And with Pouncey out.
And that's the offensive line I was talking about.
I'm just reiterating the fact that he's out.
Defensive front seven. I was talking about the defense.
Oh, you're talking about the defensive front. Oh. I think the offensive front have been pretty impressive considering the situation.
Good. Not great. Good.
No, I would agree with you. Not great.
I think it helps having a world-class running back, but the front seven for the Steelers has kept everybody off balance so far. And I think Keith Butler has done a good job as a defensive coordinator so far of utilizing a front seven with no better than really a mediocre secondary behind them and making them, I think, look a little bit better than they are in the secondary. A front seven can cover up for a secondary. And I think they've done that so far. I think Stephon Tuitt's been really good for them. I think Timmons has played really well. I think Hayward's played really well.
I thought Antoine Blake has played pretty well for the Steelers at the corner spot. And I'm not really impressed with the corners.
No better than okay.
Well,
you got to pick against San Diego, ran it back for a touchdown. That's fine, but...
Well, you got to understand, I'm not expecting much out of the Steelers' corners this year.
I certainly wouldn't sit there and like start nominating him for the Pro Bowl.
I totally agree with you. But again, when you're not expecting much out of the corners, when they do play well, it's kind of exciting.
Sure. Tony DeFazio, next half hour. Johnny Holiday tomorrow. That'll be fun.